to you and useful in your kingdom. May you bless Brother Wayne as he preaches tonight and the coming nights. May you give him wisdom and understanding. May we be attentive to hear your word, to take it to heart and apply it to our lives. And we just again invite your spirit here among us. And we want you to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. I guess as an introduction, my name is Wayne Lapp. I'm married to Rhoda, and she is planning to join me on Friday. And I'm not sure if she found me or I found her. She came from Hartville, Ohio, to teach school there at Weavertown, and we found each other there. And then we were in El Salvador for a few years. When the church started there in Burgettstown, we came back to Lancaster and then moved out to the Burgettstown area in 04. So our church was started there in 2000. We have three sons, one daughter. Our oldest son and our daughter are married. We have one grandchild and two more on the way. So we're in a different stage of life. Our youngest is 13 years old. But coming up here, I had to think of, I obviously went down memory lane. I don't know if you realize, my dad being a pastor, and when the church started out here, why, the ministers in Lancaster took turns to come out here and preach. And with my dad and Alvin Byler being good friends, why, we would often bring Alvin Bylers along. Alvin and have the devotions, and my dad would preach, and that was still in that little red schoolhouse. So I have some memories of that. And probably my worst memory was sleeping at Big John's house. And it was in the wintertime, and it was too cold. They didn't let me sleep on the floor. They made me sleep in the crib. And I don't know how that stuck to me. I don't know why you remember incidences like that, but I'm not sleeping in a crib tonight, so thanks to Glenn's. But I remember Aaron Kay's house and Elmer Stolz's. I think they had these wooden trucks that somehow stood out to me. But yeah, I have a few of those memories as a little boy. But so moving on to the message here, I did fail to mention I was in construction. I was in construction since I was 9 years old, I tell people, following Dad around. We moved out to Burgettstown, and I thought, surely I'll do something else. Well, 4 years ago, I started in sales. So I sell products, mostly Provia products, siding, windows and doors, and stone and so forth, which brought me the back way up here because I had to meet an Amish customer in Genesee, PA, just on the PA side, and somehow GPS brought me all the back roads the whole way up here in New York. So I got to see your scenery. As I look at why we're here tonight, looking at the church, I've entitled my message, A Man of Honest Report, Full of the Holy Ghost, taken out of Acts chapter 6. And we'll read those verses here shortly. But as I look at ordinations, and I look at, there's growth here. That's why you're having an ordination. And I think it's the desire of God that we ordain men. And I tell people, I think our churches, I haven't found any of our churches who have ordained too many men. I'm not sure what the AMA board was thinking when they sent a young couple, and we were only 25 years old, back in a village in El Salvador. You know, I think sometimes we could ordain men to send out instead of sending out people and then ordaining them later. But that's only One of my desires as a church leader is that I don't think we have too many ordinations. And I think an ordination is a special time for a church. I think there's something about an ordination that causes each one of us to search our own hearts. Whether you think you're eligible to be ordained or not, there's something about that God, in the beauty of designing church, has asked each one of you to nominate someone, call someone from out among you. And in that calling, there takes also an examination of your heart. Why are you nominating this person? Is it for my own selfish motives, or is this God working through us as a church together? So I think there's something beautiful there. And I think in ordinations, it can be a growing, a strengthening time for a church. Because of that fact that we all examine ourselves, there's going to be change here. There's an adjustment. And as churches grow, there's always changes. Some of us are a little stucky and we don't like changes. And yet, they're coming. There's always changes. And so, I think, yes, this may be a sobering time, but I think it's a joyful time. And I think as God calls people from the church, out of the church, to lead, we do that with joy. We're not having a funeral this weekend. We're having a celebration of how God is working through our church and how He is going to minister to the community and to the church. So I get excited when I see churches having ordinations and young men coming up and taking leadership role and enjoying what they're doing, enjoying what God has called them to do. We want to look a little bit maybe at some of the qualifications of a deacon tomorrow night, but tonight, as we look at Acts 6, we look at the ordination here. Maybe I'll just read the first six verses here in Acts 6, 1 through 6. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Ghost. And we see a list of seven brethren here in verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. First of all, we see that the order of a deacon being established here. We need as we think of a deacon, we think of a servant, a minister, a messenger. And I think as we look at this, we want to ask ourselves a question. I think we know this, but I think we need to remind ourselves, why do we have church? Whose church is this? If it's the Lord's church, if we're serving the Lord and His kingdom, I think there should be an encouragement, a building up, a joyful celebration as we bind together and we fulfill God's kingdom. You know, we think about the people we work for, the people we're employed. You know, some of our employers, we may have good experiences. They're a joy to work for. What's it like in your life? Is it a joy to serve in the kingdom of God under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Somehow I think we need to get that vision. The beauty, the joy of serving the Lord wherever He calls us. And so as there's a deacon ordained from among you, that it may be a joyful service for him. I'm hoping till I'm done here this weekend, you all want to be deacons. But the joy of serving God where we are. Do we have a glimpse of who God is and how, what it is like to serve in His kingdom? So as we look at the context here, you know, there could have been a major, there was obviously conflict here. There could have been a major split here. There was some murmurings here between the Grecians and Hebrews. And it's interesting, they called the disciples together. They had a meeting. They talked about this. They communicated. And the results here, the solution to the conflict was to choose a deacon. And after this was done, in this case, there were seven of them. The widows were cared for. The ministry of the Word of God wasn't forsaken. Both of these were crucial in the church. And I don't think either one should undermine the other one. Or either one is above the other one. It's a part of church. We're moving forward. And out of this passage, we can see why we have deacons and what their first responsibilities were. We see the apostles were devoted to prayer and to ministry of the word. Since this was their primary calling, seven men were chosen to handle the matters in the church. When it came to the finances, when it came to visiting the widows, making sure they're taken care of. And so all of a sudden, in the new church here, in the early church, the solution, there was a new kind of teamwork in the body of Christ that I can get excited about. As we see these different gifts coming together, and continuing on for the strengthening of the church. So all of a sudden the needs weren't neglected anymore. Raymond King has mentioned already, if the church would take care of all the widows and so forth, we wouldn't need any social security or any of that. If all the churches would invest their money into the needs of the widows and the poor in their community. That's an interesting thought. But I think as we look at the role of deacon, there is something there about people in our church not being neglected. And the result is beautiful. The word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And that's my prayer after this weekend here, that because of the efforts being joined together here in an ordination, that the word of God may be increased here, not only in the church, but in the community here. So I want to look at the title here a little bit. It says, seek out. In verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Who are you looking for? We're not looking for seven men here tonight, but we're looking for one. And we're looking for somebody among us. Don't go out there looking for somebody. We have somebody here. Now, I trust you wouldn't have this ordination if there wouldn't be somebody here. But I believe that there is somebody here among you. So look out among you. And you're looking for a man of honest report, someone who is a servant, someone who cares for the finances related to the poor, someone who you can find here that is good at that is called to do that. Somebody who, and if they're going to take care of the money, you need someone who is honest with money, someone with a good heart that you can appoint over this. And as we look at the word honest report, I don't know what comes to your mind there, but you know, right away my mind goes to various areas in our life as men. Somebody who has an honest report in the home, someone who the children respect, someone who the children are free to talk about. There are fathers that have this unwritten rule that nobody else finds out what I say or do at home. That's not who we're looking for. We're looking for somebody with an honest report at home. Someone who has an honest report at church. Someone you can trust. Someone who will relate well. And then the honest report in the community. 1 Timothy 3:7, he says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." I don't have time to look at those two words, but I think that shows the seriousness of the honest report to the community. There at Burgettstown, we're in an area where probably the closest conservatives to us would be Antrim, about an hour away. And somehow, everything we do, the community finds out about or is watching. And I thank God for the first ones that moved in our community. They established a good report in the community. When I moved in the area and I go to a local hardware and I wanted to get credit, "Oh, you go to the church, Raymond King and Harlan and them, sure, here it is." You know, that was a blessing for me in the business world. And we have that in the spiritual world. With COVID-19, you know, there were some things we weren't sure what we're doing. And when we come back to church, we have a local man there who's on the township board showed up for church. Just his support for us opening church back up. There's something about having that report in the community that is an encouragement. And so, as we look at someone who has an honest life, someone stated, "Do not speak about Christianity, wait till they ask, but live and speak so they ask." And I think as we moved in the area where we're at, I told people when I went to check a job, I spent at least a half hour trying to explain to them why we would move from beautiful Lancaster County to coal mine town, Burgettstown. But we had an opportunity there. But can we live in a way that they will ask us, "What's different about you?" And hopefully it's a good question. You know, what makes him stand out differently? So I believe Friday night, when you give your nominees, think about a man that has a good report. Don't tempt God. You'll nominate somebody out of spite just because you want to get even or something like that. Or thinking it might be good for him if he would have that office. You know, it really might change his life. Well, generally not. My dad has stories where that happened and God allowed those people to be ordained. And I think there is something, I think that's why I am encouraging you tonight to check your own hearts. As you nominate, this is about the kingdom of God. God is giving you that responsibility. You know, we would say, "God, why don't you come and just tell us who it is?" Because he wants you to work together. He wants to work at each one of our hearts, not just one man's heart here tonight. He says, choose a man who is honest, a good report, full of the Holy Spirit. I believe that is your responsibility Friday night. He talks about full of wisdom. Again, we are looking for someone who is full of the Holy Ghost. Someone who has a report, not someone who will, because if he is and he has, he will. He will do what God has called him to do. A man who is being faithful in that which he already is and the things that he already has, the responsibilities that he has already. And in Acts, the reason is so the widows would not be abused or neglected. So money is not used for personal gain. So the job will be accomplished in a timely manner, in the way that the church and Christ desire. The man chosen by the church should be well known for spreading the gospel message. And also for being able to take orders from others so that he listens to God. He listens to the team around him. A person that is not a good follower will not be a good leader. And then in that same verse, he talks about full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of a leader or a person full of the Holy Ghost. I think sometimes we tend to shy away from that a little bit. We have seen some extremes on that. And I'd like to just look at that, especially as we think about the different gifts in the church. You know, there's always that, during an ordination, there's always the emotional part of it and so forth. And I understand that. That's human. But I think we need to understand the different gifts that are in the church, that this person is not more important than this person. God has given us all gifts. And it works really well if we're all full of the Holy Ghost. If we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And we'll talk about that a little bit more Sunday morning. But as we look at full of the Holy Ghost, I automatically think of Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about spiritual gifts. You know, when I think of somebody full of the Holy Ghost, I think of someone who is not full of self. And I think that's something to keep in mind, even as members, as you nominate Friday night, that you're not full of self as you nominate someone. I think that's a responsibility of all of us. As we're full of the Holy Ghost, I don't see anybody that's full of themselves. I believe the man that is ordained here on Sunday will help you see a bigger picture of God, a man full of the Holy Ghost, and I'll get to that. As we look in scriptures, there are different gifts, and I would have categorized them as the motivational gifts in Romans 12, where we have prophecy, ministry, teaching, giving, ruling, mercy. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, we have a manifestation gifts that of speaking in tongues, healing, prophecies, and miracles. It's something that the Holy Ghost brings at certain times. But we're looking specifically here in Ephesians 4 at the ministry gifts. And the ministry gifts, I believe, can be developed. Think of one man in our church that we would have never thought he was a teacher, and he became a Sunday school teacher, and I think he has every year since. There's something, and it seemed the more he taught, why the better he got. Those things happen. But, you know, as I look at these gifts, why different gifts? And I want to answer that here at the end here. Why the different gifts? You know, wouldn't it be nice if everybody be like me and we could just move on and life, everybody do just the way I want them to do? I think that's a narrow picture of God. Ephesians 4:12, we'll turn to that and look at Ephesians 4 here for a minute or so as we look at verse 12. He says, for the perfecting or the complete furnishing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. A man full of the Holy Ghost, I believe, will help furnish the church. He's not going to destroy the church. He is going to build the church. They tell me a leader with power destroys a church. A leader with influence through the Holy Spirit builds a church. Power destroys. Influence can build. And as we see the man full of the Holy Ghost, he's a giver, not a taker. He is building. He is furnishing the church, the saints. And it says, for the work of the ministry, or the word here could be servanthood. A man full of the Holy Ghost will be a servant. And as we look at verse 12, it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. A man full of the Holy Ghost will build. May it be through prayer, may it be through intercession. Let's remember as a church that in the Scripture, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Christ is the intercedes for us. Which side are we on? And I think as we intercede for each other and build each other up, it's Satan and his camp that accuse the brethren. And so as I see a man full of the Holy Ghost who is exhorting each other, in Hebrews 3 it says, exhort one another daily, lest you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. How many people did you encourage this week? Is that a daily thing for us? I think us as a church, I've told somebody already, the Beachy constituency, I'm amazed when I get to ministers' meeting at the business meeting and see the millions of dollars that goes out in missions. And somewhere, I would like to wrap all these churches together and see what the potential of the power of the Holy Spirit a group like that has. What for impact we could make in our communities as we would pull together. And I think that comes down to our church. You know, maybe we have the finances, the wealth, but what about the Holy Spirit working together in us? Notice what it does. These different gifts are for the unity of the faith. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let's back up in chapter 4, verse 3. It talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. One Spirit, you know, that sounds great. We talk about one body. How does that work? We're so different. Very few divisions have been caused by the issue over major doctrines. They're usually caused by personality or way of administration. And my question is, where is the Spirit when that happens? We look at unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. The verse I'd really like to look at here is in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. A number of years ago when I was studying this, what does the word fullness of Christ mean? It means a complete picture of Christ. And I think maybe we put that out there, but can we at least get a glimpse of that? Think about it. With the gifts that I have, can I portray who Christ is? And then I get married to this lady that she thinks so differently, emotionally and everything, and I'm thinking, what happened here? And yet, as I've learned over the years, she has gifts of God that I wouldn't have known about. And I think that works in the church. As you have deacons, as you have ministers, as you have evangelists, as you have janitors, as you have Sunday school teachers. When you put all them together, the person walking in the door should see a fullness of Christ. They should see a more complete picture of who Christ is. And too often we use all those differences to divide us. And yet God is saying here, we put all those together because not one of us can have all those gifts to portray who Christ is. And so he spread it out here in the church. And that's a part of ordaining a deacon here this weekend is that you need a deacon. And so someone is going to be ordained a deacon here, Lord willing. And that doesn't mean that you're not important. God just wants to use that so that when you walk in this church house, when you're together as a group, you can see more who Christ is, a better picture of who he is. And to me, that's exciting. If we could, as churches, get that picture, that people could see who Christ is, because how in the world do these people that are so different able to work together? That's unheard of. Especially in the world that we live in today. We all have our own agendas, and I don't know who's talking the loudest out there, but can we pull this together so that the world and so that we can see a better picture of Christ? And that would be my prayer desire as we look at being full of the Holy Ghost. So, maybe to wrap this up a little, as we look at the Lord's church here, I think we need to realize who is in charge this weekend. I think I know Mel, and I know that Mel doesn't feel totally in charge here, because it's the Lord who is in charge here. The way we do our ordinations, we give it over to the Lord. Just as the Lord is the head of the church. And so, can I be effective in the gifts that God has given me without the Holy Ghost? No. We need to allow the Holy Ghost to take over our lives, to get rid of that selfishness. Every day that self, more and more of me has to go out that door. And so we have heard, if you look farther on in the passage of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ has taught us the truth. A.W. Tozer talks about religious activists build church houses, they write hymns and books, they sing, they play their instruments, they organize crusades, movements, and prayer meetings. Early in the morning to late at night. Morality and temporality are written all over the churches today, trying to do it with human flesh and not by the power of the Spirit. And I think that's something we as churches can, as individuals, can always look at. The church has prevailed in spite of all their charm. What we do for God must be done through the power of the Holy Spirit and come from the Lord, the head of the church. And think about that a little bit. Doesn't that take away at least some of the anxiety this weekend? That it's in the hands of the Lord. Really, no one here has to control what's going on this weekend. Can you give that over to the Lord? And can you see that Christ is the head of the church here this weekend? So he's in control. So relax. Enjoy the weekend. That's easier said than done, I realize. But let's do enjoy this part of church. Let's do draw together and give it to the Lord. And so I'd like to just share some personal questions for you tonight. As members in the congregation, do you trust God? Have you put your faith in God? Do you think that God wants the best for this congregation? And I think if you answer that, it's yes. So can we give it over to the Lord? You know, he knows who and what gift this church needs at this time. He can see the future. And so can I, Lord, it's not my will, but thine be done. And I guess I'm asking, does that put things in perspective? Does that help at least settle my nerves a little bit and my feelings? The things that are going on in here right now, who is in control here? I was in three ordinations. Rhoda and I had just been back from the mission field, and we were in the lot at Weavertown. You know, many things went through my mind. You know, is this why I came back from El Salvador? And then we moved to Washington County. And I'll never forget the week before the ordination, before I was ordained, I was very restless. I grew up as a preacher's child. And there was something about me I did not want to be tied down as a preacher. My wife's father was also a preacher, and my wife wasn't sure she wants to give me up as a husband. But there's something of reassuring about saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And there's something beautiful about being able to do that. And then, you know, on the other side, as a minister, you know, next spring, because Nate Zook was asked to go to Mountain View for a couple of years, we're having another ordination. Well, that shakes up the minister team. You have some ministers here that are going to have to adjust to someone else being on the team. What if? What if this? There's something about giving this over to God, saying, not my will, but thine be done. So, can we lay aside our selfish motives? You know, I really want him to be the deacon. I really don't want him to be the deacon. Can we lay those aside? You know, God can see down the road. Where is God in all this? And I believe if we're allowing God to choose our leader, I believe he will choose the best for this time that you need now as a church. And I trust that through this ordination, that you will see more of Christ in filling that role. And I think it's amazing, as a member of the body of a church, you have the privilege to participate in this by nominating someone. And you do this through the Spirit, through prayer. It's amazing how God made this so practical. And we'll look at a few of those qualifications tomorrow night. Again, my question is, are you open to the Holy Spirit to lead you? And as God leads you, I believe there are men here who have a good report. There are men here who are full of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I think as God directs us to give a name, not necessarily that he's going to be ordained. He just asks you to nominate somebody that's qualified. And if there's more than one, he will choose the one that I think he feels best here. It's no reflection on you if he's not ordained. You're giving a nomination of somebody who is qualified, and you're giving it over to the Lord to decide who's the best for this time. So I want to encourage you in that. And my prayer is that that will give you a peace and a rest over this time, that this is a weekend that you can enjoy and that you can grow as a church and that you can see who Christ is, that you can see the bigger picture of Christ and of God and his church. Shall we stand for prayer? God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your church. And Lord, I thank you for the different gifts that are in the church so that we can see more of who you are. I pray that each one of us in our lives as individuals would allow your Spirit to fill us and that we could minister to bring honor and glory to you, that the church may grow. I pray for each one of the members here as they might be wrestling with the events of this weekend. God, I pray for a peace. I pray for a strength. I pray for comfort. Most of all, we pray that your will be accomplished and that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing, and I think we'll have a song in closing.